Welcome to Diversity Conversations, where we engage in thought-provoking dialogue to identify leadership solutions to today's most challenging conflicts. Stream live each week, Saturday, 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m., hosted by Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Strategist and CEOs Eric Ellis and Tommy Lewis. Join us and add your voice to this engaging diversity conversation.
Good morning, Greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, the United States, and the world. My name is Eric Ellis, and I'm the president and CEO of Integrity Development Corporation. And I'm joined this morning by my good friend and brother,
Tommy Lewis, president and CEO of Make It Plain Consulting. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you, my friend?
Man, it's a great day today. It's chilly in Southwest Ohio. Ooh,
yes, it is.
It's chilly. It's a good day today, man. I'm excited about today's show and invite our community to join us. But I'm also excited because it's a full day for me today. But overall, and we'll get to it, the day started off fantastically.
That's good to hear, man. I know that it's been a busy week, going through a lot of changes this week, but exciting things happening. Why don't you talk about, man, just the good news for you this week? What were some things that happened with you this week that you would describe as good news that we can celebrate?
Good news, celebration. A couple of things. We are revisiting our website, just reaching out to our team members and updating their headshots.
Okay.
So, well, that's good news because we use the headshots for our photos, for proposals, and then at the request of our clients and potential clients. But we also provide those headshots, which are professionally done, to our team members.
Right.
And so they have a number of different things that they can use for their own discretion. It's right. Their liking image. Okay. And so we like to give that back to our team members as well. So we're wrapping up a number of these photo shoots, if you will. Another opportunity to celebrate, Eric, we work with a local church in Southwest Ohio, a pretty prominent church, I would say. A church that has done a lot of work in the community, as well as achieved their mission and goal of saving souls, right? So we work with them in their strategic planning.
Okay.
And this is a little bit different than what, you know, some churches may think about with regards to their leadership team. But we spent some time really hashing out and working through what does the next 3 to 5 years look like?
Okay.
And all of the potential challenges that we can think of. The reason why we're exploring this is because I met with them about 5 years ago.
Right.
And we did this exercise and COVID was not a part of that challenge.
Okay.
So when it happened, you know, two and a half years ago, we were halfway through the implementation of the strategy.
Okay.
What we've learned as a celebration is that when we plan things, we also think about what we can, you know, what can disrupt it and have a BATNA. And that is the best alternative to a negotiated agreement.
Okay.
And that was a great joy, Eric, to work with these folks to say, they said, we've learned so much over the last 2.5 to 5 years.
Right.
What's next? I said, right. Let's get there. Right. So those are some good news I have to celebrate. I want to, again, thank our clients, partners, and those who continue to recommend our organization, Make It Plain, right, to provide value to their people, their organizations, and their communities that they serve.
Excellent. Tommy, that's outstanding good news, man. Good news for me. The family's healthy. I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful for having a loving family, man, where I see my children developing better relationships with each other. You know, that's always a good thing to see because there's always a little bit of sibling rivalry, if you will. But as they get older, they're leaning in on each other, you know, calling each other, checking in on each other, celebrating each other more, man.
Yeah.
Be happier about that. It's also exciting to see our children get excited about the work that we do. And I'm grateful for that. This week had several successful webinars with clients. One was with the Vitesco client, global sort of technology organization, electrification of mobility out of Germany. U.S. headquarters is in Auburn Hills, Michigan. So I did a session a couple of weeks ago with the CEO and her direct reports. We then turned around and did a virtual session. And people think, you know, we did the first one in person. Oh, my goodness, how far off is it going to drop to do something virtually? But it was powerfully successful, Tommy. People really opened up and shared their thoughts, man, and gained a lot of value. And I always learn, Tommy, every time, you know, you and I do this work, man, it's not just us facilitating conversations with others, man, and teaching them what we know. But we learn something about them, their organizations, the individuals that lead their organizations. And I was excited about that. The second thing I had to do, Tommy, was I did a session with some CEOs in Wisconsin of small, medium-sized companies. They had a convener that they've been meeting for years, but they wanted to talk to someone about diversity. And so they invited me to be that person. And we had a fabulous conversation. One of the stories that I told, man, I was telling them about, you know, one of my favorite groups to work with is self-described good old boys. Yeah. And so I was telling them about, you know, one of my clients that we did a webinar with the union. It's 25 white guys, and they all were sitting back with faces, look like they've been eating lemons all day at the beginning. But then by the end, they look like emojis, you know, they were like, yeah. And I shared that story. And one of the white males said, Eric, I was just like those guys. He said, man, when I came into this thing, I was feeling exactly like that. He said, but you've converted me. I mean, it's almost like we are, you know, in church.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Tommy, I think we feel like that, man. We're loving on people, man. Yeah. We're not just teaching people. But you and I care deeply about these individuals, man. We're not trying to hurt anybody or harm anybody. We want to challenge our thinking. We want to demonstrate, model to them that we're willing to grow ourselves. And I think that people are wildly interested, Tommy, in having a conversation about this. Tommy, let me just fire some of these questions at you, man. Yeah. They had some questions in advance that they had for me. And I'd love to hear some of your perspective. How to support inclusion with charitable donations without polarizing another social group. Donations to veterans, but not Black Lives Matter, or to the Catholic charities, homeless versus national law enforcement, others. What are your thoughts about that? They're just looking at, you know, funds. It's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, if it's from an organizational donation,
right.
One thing I would think about is take a look at the past criteria for giving.
Mm-hmm.
And if that criteria is something that we can revisit to see right. if we can broaden that donation contribution, let's revisit it and broaden it.
Right.
And so secondly is even with a donation, although it's a gift, we are doing it, we being organizations, as a if it's corporate citizenship, if it's organizational citizenship, we want that return on investment.
Right.
So we have to ask ourselves, what is the return? It may be access to said organization. It may be the branding and marketing of supporting said right. organization. It right. may be even identifying talent or reciprocal type of gifts when we give them. So we have to be clear on that. And thirdly, ultimately, it is your money.
Hey.
At the end of the day.
Right. So, let me throw yeah. another one at you. They had a couple of doozies in here, man. They had one about impact of retaining consistent social media, corporate branding, changing branding to reflect seasonal social causes and drawing attention to social branding, changing corporate online logo to rainbow colors for LGBTQAI month. And so their question was, if that's not your thing and some of your staff are pushing you around the different months, they started with LGBT, Q month, but they were probably referring to, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month, Black History Month. What are your thoughts about that, Tommy? So the leaders are saying that I ain't feeling this, but we've been trying to keep our social media up to, branding up to date. How should we handle that?
That is a great question and opportunity. Here's what I think about this. I think that companies and organizations, particularly those who are seasoned, I'm not talking about your startup, right, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. I'm talking about those established organizations that they have a brand, right? And a brand is not the logo of the company.
Right.
So we want to be clear there. A brand is not the logo. The brand, right, is the reputation that the consumer has about said organization.
Mm-hmm.
The brand is not actually what the organization says it is. Mm. It's what the consumer says it is.
Okay.
Right? And what the consumer says it is, if it matches up with the brand logo, with the brand reputation or desired brand reputation of the organization, if it matches, then it matches. Okay. For example, Disney. Folks say, Disney, what do you think about? Fun, Mickey Mouse. I've been to Disneyland. It's kind of it's a wonderful world. There's different things. Everything's right, unique, i.e. diversity. So Disney doesn't have to come out and change their logo from Disney or from Mickey Mouse to anything else, because it already is matched up to the brand reputation of its consumers. Now, employees or even the consumer may have a view about their particular interest, self-interest. Right. I would recommend that organizations listen to these employees, to the customers.
Excellent.
And as they're listening, ask inquisitive questions, such as, we do hear you and your position. You're looking to kind of, for the month, change our brand logo to a rainbow. Next month, are there any thoughts about what cultural group we should represent? Mm-hmm. And then the following month, in fact, there's 12 months, maybe different weeks, should we continue to go down a path of changing our corporate logo based on that month?
Right.
Nine times out of 10, the work that the movement, those folks will say, I haven't even thought about those other people.
Mm.
I only think about mine. Right.
Right. That's it. So
the company, in closing, the company has to think about what does their organization look like in the next 50 to 100 years?
Right.
Their brand logo, their brand reputation, their brand image, and how does it really connect to their business proposition, their mission, right, values, and service?
Right.
You can expand your services.
Right.
Right. To care for all people.
Excellent.
But a vehicle which is charged with moving people,
mm,
right? And those automobile manufacturers, they know this. We just want to build vehicles that move people efficiently.
Right.
In fact, we want all types of people to be in our vehicles.
Right, right. Yeah. I love that. Great conversation. Some of them may even be tuning into this show this morning, Tommy. So they got a second bite out of the apple with your perspective. Awesome thoughts, man. We had great conversation and we're just answering those questions, man. And I said pretty much, many of the things that you said, didn't talk as clearly about brand and brand connection, but really talked about understanding and being curious around your people, their desires to celebrate their own cultural values, and making sure that you're leaning into that, because your corporation is not simply a reflection of you and your individual interest and taste. You have to be able to, in many ways, go beyond that, at times, in order to make sure that we are satisfying, speaking to our evolving workplace employees and our customers. So I think that's a great perspective. So had a great time with them. Was just excited to be able to, I was telling them, Tommy, that when I was a kid, I may have said this on the show before. I remember, man, all the superheroes were white, but I didn't see color. So I'd throw on my own little bath towel, tied around my neck and fly around the house, man, like I'm the superhero, And I think in many ways, Tommy, that's how I feel that you and I are operating today. We literally get up and we tie on our little DEI cape. And in some ways, man, we just try to go out there and make a difference in the world around us. Now, we certainly serve that up in the language of business case and what's in the best interest of an organization's bottom line. But fundamentally, you and I are really trying to have a positive impact on the world around us, man. And I cannot say that I've been more inspired, more motivated, more passionate about leading this conversation than I am today.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm reminded of the little story about the little boy that was on the beach and he was going down and all these starfish were up on the shore. And he said, oh, my goodness, they're all dying. And so he started throwing them one at a time back into the ocean. They said, little boy, what are you doing? You can't get all those starfish. That's just impossible. It doesn't matter at all. He said, well, it matters to that one. And sometimes, Tommy, that's how it is with you and I, man. If we're not able to bring change to the entire organization, because change takes time, we are really simply also trying to win the individual over and have an impact on their view of this. And I think that I would say to our community, anybody that's working in this space, you have to start by caring first about others. This cannot simply be about us and our agenda and getting our message off. It's got to be about hearing people, listening to people, caring deeply about the people that are in front of you. Because if I don't care about you, then how can I expect you to care about the things that we're talking about and to care about others?
Eric, this is spot on. I had a follow-up statement, and then I have a question for you as well.
Yeah.
So you hit it on the head with regards to folks in this work. I am a executive coach for a gentleman down in Virginia.
Okay.
He is newly chiefed the diversity leader, right? He's chief diversity officer. He's about a year into his role. He's been with the organization maybe 25 years.
Okay.
Very well known throughout the organization. This is his first opportunity to be in that C-suite space.
Okay.
In diversity, equity, and inclusion. To your point, I have been coaching him with some sophistication, some savvy.
Right.
To elevate from his own personal experiences, triumphs, and challenges, and how early on in his role, he was intertwining his personal stuff, not just personal, but from his community perspective. He's an African-American man. He was integrating that into the work that he was doing for the agency, the organization.
Right.
And it was coming across, unbeknownst to him, as very selfish or very isolated and siloed, kind of too black.
Right. Right.
He didn't see anything wrong with it.
Right.
And I have coached him to elevate that it's not only his own identity, but it's the shared identities of everyone that the agency touches.
Right.
Internal customers, the employees, their residents, family members, individuals who use their services,
right,
their communities, and they're spread out the entire state of Virginia.
Right.
And now, working with him over a year, he's able to speak more broadly and more strategically, where others who are actually in the majority are able to hear him.
Right.
Before they weren't able to hear him.
Right. And I'll tell you. And so that's Tommy, that's so good, man. And we have to be able to do that. We're not trying to diminish in any way people's stories, their struggles or anything like that. We're just trying to sometimes work with people to help graduate them to a strategy that will actually serve their own interests best. And so, you know, because it serves the interest of others and the interest of the organization. So I would say, man, we absolutely have to keep growing and working in this space. Sometimes we don't want to do that. You know, we really want to just go at people because of the pain that we're experiencing. You also said that you had a question. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I still have a question.
Yeah.
So maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, Eric, I was able to watch an interview of a very, very famous actor on YouTube. And it was one of those interviews where it's fairly candid. Not the typical questions that folks ask actors, but it was really understanding the psychology of the actor. And this very seasoned actor said, you know, acting is a very peculiar business, that you can be in this business for 10 solid years, 20 solid years, sometimes 30 years. And every week, every month, you're asked to show other people what you already know. In other words, you could be acting for 30 years and go to an audition and have to prove to people who have actually watched you do your craft, say, can you still act?
Right.
And he says, this particular actor is like, it's schizophrenic, right? I want to ask you, as someone that has been doing this work for 30 plus years, what do you have to work through when you are asked through an interview, right, to prove to other people that you know what you're doing, Eric, even when you know that they don't know what they're doing? So you're the expert. You're being asked in an interview and judged by folks who don't really know what this is, but they're judging you as the expert. How do you manage that?
Two perspectives on it. Tommy, a brilliant question. And I'm going to answer that as transparently as I can. I'll tell you that on my good days, I want to model the kind of behavior that a leader in this space should be modeling. In other words, an openness, a curiosity, a respect for the client or potential client, an enthusiasm around being able to answer that question in the most robust way possible. On my good days and on my typical days, that's how I'm responding. But Tommy, every once in a while, on a bad day, late on a Friday, when I'm getting quizzed by somebody that doesn't know this work and maybe displaying a lack of true interest or respect for the work, that's when it becomes difficult for me, man. And but here's what I would say to you, Tommy, that this work, if you're going to be good at this work, you've got to keep growing. And growth doesn't just happen when things are easy. Growth happens when they're tough, when they're difficult. I told you I recently was, doing I had a meeting with a corporate leader and, preparing for the training. It was a Friday late. And she was sort of, kind of ripping apart some of my materials and giving me some input. And Tommy, I didn't respond well.
Yeah. I
didn't listen well. And at the end, nobody had to tell me that. I knew myself that I had failed to live up to my own standard. The good news was, though, Tommy, was that when we did the live session, the session was going along beautifully. And the CEO was just thrilled. And then she said to me about three-fourths of the way through, she said, Eric, you had an exercise there that I saw my team as right at the border of being able to share something transparent around our own team and my own leadership. Is there anything that you could do to help with that? And I said, I can. And I put together a fishbowl. And I don't know if I told this here, but I put together this fishbowl. And then I invited them to take seats in the fishbowl. If you're willing to share honestly, transparently, what are your experiences here as a part of this team? What are some of the ways that you don't have a sense of belonging or you're overburdened or not feeling like you're having a fair experience? And six people took seats. And then I said, I want to be the first one to speak. I said, since I am a part of this team, at least for this session today. And I apologized to the CEO in front of everybody. And I said, last week we met, I said, and you were giving me some input. I said, and honestly, I did a poor job of listening. I said, I did take that input. You see it reflected in what we've done. I said, but I didn't meet up to my own standard. And I just wanted to apologize to you. And her eyes got big, man, and kind of teared up a little bit. And, you know, and then from there, Tommy, everybody started sharing honestly and authentically a conversation between each other. So we don't always get it right, Tommy. We don't, man. You and I, we can feel offended sometimes. We're humans, you know, but as soon as we begin to operate, Tommy, out of the pride of indignation, that says that people aren't worthy enough to ask me any kind of question and to, in fact, vet me. I believe that vetting consultants is so important that it's in the structure of how we work with organizations.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't even try to start with a long term, agreement.
Right.
I actually encourage them to work with us in phases. So you have natural stopping points to keep reevaluating if we're the right partner for you.
Yeah.
So that's my values, but sometimes I don't always live up to my values, Tommy, and it disappoints me, but I'm human and I get to get on that horse again, man, and keep growing.
Yeah, Eric, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and transparency there. We are actors in this game of life.
That's right.
And every day, every week, every month, every year, we're having to renew our membership. And so if we are not, if we're uncomfortable with having to prove our worth, our worthiness, our own validation of lived and learned experiences, if we're not comfortable with having to repeat this, then I would recommend that we kind of question our own continuous improvement.
Come on now.
Right? And I think in the space that we're in, Eric, that, you know, some people may listen to us have a conversation and we're pulling resources and we're, you know, we may be speaking articulately, right? But we're always human. We're professionals who have learned from ourselves and others, as well as from the experiences that others have given to us.
Right.
I think, like I know with you, we take away so much from the training.
Come on now.
I don't know if anyone else is learning anything, but I'm talking to 25, 30, 50 people.
Right.
And I'm taking 25, 30, 50 perspectives that now I am depositing into my bank of knowledge. Right.
Come on now.
And wanting someone to say, can you tell me what your experience is? And I can roll out 50 experiences such that the person's like, you've done all of that. Some of it is direct, some of it is indirect. Right. But it's mine now.
That's my experience.
Yes. That's empathy. It's my experience now.
Right.
I feel you.
Right.
You know, so that good old boy, that's my experience. I'm that good old boy.
Right. And I hear them and I tell them I have not just spent 30 years teaching white males mainly and a lot of everybody else, but I've learned. I've been taking notes. Yeah. I've been identifying the legitimate frustrations that they have. And some people don't even want to do that, Tommy.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I'll take you a little further, Tommy. I was talking to Dr. Wood, Dr. Virgil A. Wood yesterday. And he said, Brother Eric, he said, I'm just so grateful that God reconnected me with you. He said, man, you're extending my life and you're just bringing positive energy and passion. It's invigorating every time I talk to you. He said, because, you know, a lot of these young people, they don't even want to hear from you. He said, when you get to my age, there are people that think you ought to just be silent and up on a shelf somewhere. And he said, some are even hoping that you can't even die soon enough. I said, oh, no, Dr. Wood. I said, I am so blessed to be able to interact with you. But Tommy, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's 90 years old, genius.
Yeah.
Dr. King referred to him as his teacher. And yet people are questioning him and saying, hurry it up, old man. Yeah. Can you move out the way? Huh? And I'm just grateful, man. So if people come at me that way, that's just what the world will do. Can't get offended by that, man.
Yeah.
You just got to pick it up and keep growing. And when you are asking me about who I am, then you're giving me the opportunity to respond.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid of that.
Yeah.
Time, we ain't afraid of that, are we?
Not at all. Let's give a little flavor, Eric.
Woo! Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Tommy, I'd like to have you share. Here's one of the things that I was recognizing. I want to say good morning to Dr. Reggie Crane, man. We're so glad to have you with us. Love having you with us, Buddy Campbell. We're glad to have you with us this morning, man. We appreciate you all joining us. Tommy and I were talking. And one of the things that we said that we want to do is maybe share just a little excerpt of a teaching that you do. And Tommy, I know we'll start with you, and at minimum, we'll get through you. If I don't get through mine today, maybe we'll do it just next Saturday. But let's have you share some things, man, the kind of things that you teach audiences, and then we'll have a discussion. Anybody in the community want to weigh in? Certainly, we're open for that.
All right. So I'll share my slides in just a moment, just about three slides, just to give us a taste of the flavor that one might expect in the experience that I hopefully set up for any small group of one or a small team or a large organization.
Right.
And so I'll share this, go through the learning, and then pull back out.
Okay.
I would also like to share before I present that Make It Plain Consulting, which was founded in 1996 in Nashville, Tennessee,
okay,
has always had the mantra that we never shame, blame, or victimize anyone in our experiences. We never do that. We know that from different cultures and how we respond to words and events and situations, that we're never blaming, shaming, or victimizing.
Right.
So keeping that in mind, let's approach this with goodwill.
Right.
With goodwill. Let's presume goodwill.
I love that, Tommy. Love it.
So I'm going to see if I can share my slide here.
Yes.
All right. We'll jump into it. All right. So some of us may have seen this diagram before.
Hold on. Let me pull it up on the screen. Okay. There it is.
It's called the diversity wheel. One of the sources is from the Workforce America by Dr. Marilyn Loden and Dr. Judy Rosner. And then it was revised and updated time and time again by one of my mentors and her business partners from diverse teams at work, Dr. Lee Gardner-Swartz and Dr. Anita Rowe and Dr. Jorge Chabot, the diversity wheel. In the center of the wheel, we see identity. That's who we are as human beings. No matter where we go, that's where we are. We always take our identity with us. However, over years, there's more experiences in our life that influence and inform our identity. Mm-hmm. Then we move into the primary dimension of the wheel. These are dimensions that we can often see in other people, but sometimes we can't. For example, national origin or sexual orientation, race, class, mental or physical ability, gender identity, et cetera, et cetera. And then we move into the secondary dimension. We begin to broaden the dimensions or definitions of diversity than in years past, such as military experience, political views, or cognitive or thinking style, appearance, language or accent, spiritual beliefs, religion, communication style. As we only take a look at the primary and the secondary dimension, I would like to invite anyone in the chat room or at home to take a look at the primary and the secondary dimension and think about what aspects in this secondary and primary dimension generate a lot of energy in people. People get all riled up, excited, maybe strongly opinionated. Some may say race or age or gender identity, political views, appearance, language or accent, religion, even geographic location. And so as we think about the primary and the secondary dimension and what gets people riled up, they are highly opinionated. Some of this getting riled up in excitement is where we have a discourse with one's own identity. In other words, there may be a concept or characteristic of another person that doesn't mesh with one's own views, beliefs, attitudes, and identity. Mm-hmm. And so we have an emotional response to that, right? Now, as we continue through the diversity wheel, organizational, we have different organizational concepts, location, tenure, how long have you been in your work or industry, your work experience overall, your professional or personal network, the industry that you work in, if you are in a union with affiliation or non-represented, what is your role in the company, agency, or institution? And then lastly, we kind of raise up out of the wheel into the cultural side. Are you more competitive or cooperative? What are your conflict resolution preferences? In other words, if there's a conflict, a challenge, a problem, do you like to address that problem directly, mm-hmm. possibly aggressive? Or do you like to address the problem indirectly, mm-hmm. maybe passively? Or are you passive aggressive? Mm-hmm. You know who you are, and maybe others do as well.
Right.
But you have to identify that. And then we look at traditions and observations. What are your own personal traditions and observations? Holidays, be it national holidays, global holidays, or even personal holidays. Are there particular observations or traditions that you do in your nuclear family, that you grew up in your family or your community? So as you begin to think about these traditions and observations, there are other people, other communities that have different experiences. Mm-hmm. So we like to understand your own as well as have an appreciation of others. Personal space. Do you like people speaking to you within 6 inches of your face? Or do you need that 2-foot buffer?
Right.
Maybe even 6 feet, right? Or nowadays is, you know, a new 4-letter word. We call it Zoom. Zoom you, right? So we use Zoom, just get away. We continue to out through the cultural side, like power and authority views. In other words, how do you view power and authority, mm-hmm. right? Your body language. Do you know what your body language is saying to others? And can you accurately articulate and interpret the body language of others? Mm-hmm. Because just because someone's showing their teeth doesn't mean that they're happy.
Right.
And in fact, if they're not showing their teeth, it doesn't mean that they're unhappy. Different people, different cultures express emotion through nonverbal communication differently. Right? Are you more of a being or a doing person? So as we transition to the next slide, another activity I'd like you to consider as you take a look at the entire diversity wheel. And obviously there are more concepts and aspects of diversity that are not on this wheel. So you can create your own wheel.
Right.
But as you think about this, if you would, you know, what are 5 concepts that you are most comfortable with yourself? For example, if you're comfortable with your age, put a circle around age. If you're comfortable with your race, put a circle. If you're comfortable with your military experience, put a circle around it. If you're comfortable with the way that you celebrate holidays and other celebrations, put a circle around it. These are aspects of yourself or your interactions with others that you are comfortable with. Now, think of some areas that you are uncomfortable with. either with yourself or interacting with someone of that identity. For example, if you are uncomfortable with someone else's gender identity, put a square around it. If you're uncomfortable with someone else's communication style, or their view of power and authority, or even their political views, or more, they're more of a being person, selfish in your mind, rather than doing, put a square around it. Now, you may have a circle and a square around the same aspect. I'll give you an example for myself. I grew up in a family where my mother and father insisted that we work hard. They called it having a good work ethic. They worked very, very hard. They worked hard. They taught me and my sisters how to work hard, so much so that it became part of my DNA to work hard. Right. Personally, professionally, for crying out loud, I became a professional athlete because of hard work over my talent. I have a circle around that ethic, right? That working style. I also have a square around it. My father passed away in 2006. The first thing I did the next day is I went to work. I never missed any days of work. When my sister passed away in 2008, the next day I went to work. When my mother passed away in 2016, the next day I went to work. Became my comfort zone. It was my ability to deal with grief and discomfort. So I have a circle and a square around the concept of working style. Equity. Many of us have heard this term over the years, but according to the Harvard Business Review, HBR, they call out this diagram, a roadmap to equity. And it's a quick acronym, PRESS, P-R-E-S-S. P is for problem awareness. As we continue to think about our environment and our roadmap to equity, what is the problem? And what is the root cause analysis? That's the R. And so within the problem and the root cause analysis, we're actually looking at the condition. Do I understand what the problem is? And even more importantly, where it comes from? And then we transition into the E, empathy. And Eric and I talk about empathy often. That is around concern. Do I care enough about the problem and the people it hurts? Now, again, we have to have some self-reflection here. And we can lie to ourselves and we can lie to others, but it may catch up. We can say, yeah, I have empathy for them, but do I really care enough about the problem to speak up or to really understand how that problem hurts and harms other people? If I do, then I move on toward the strategy, the first S. As I move into the strategy, I look at correction. Do I know how to correct the problem? And then I move into that S, the second S, sacrifice. And am I willing to do it? What am I willing to give up, to sacrifice, to lean into in order to move toward equity? Again, the Harvard Business Review lays this template out for any and all people, teams, and organizations to follow toward equity. In closing, there's another concept called inclusive excellence, often used in healthcare as well as higher education. It talks about these five pillars: access and success. How do we define access for all? And how do we define success for those in the way that they need it, right? So we don't define success for ourselves and for others. Well, success is when you make $1 million a year. Some other person says, I don't want to make $1 million, right? I just want to be healthy. Those are two different levels of success. And then we have the institutional climate and intergroup relations. In other words, we have to assess what the climate is, the cultural climate, the pulse of the organization from a inclusive excellence perspective. And here, the third pillar, education and scholarship. Education is the information that we are providing to the end user, the student, the employee, through professional development. And then scholarship is the utilization or implementation of those skills and knowledge. That's scholarship. In higher ed, they say that to get a degree, you basically have to pass more tests than you fail. In other words, you can literally get a college degree with a C- GPA. Mm-hmm. You pass more tests than you fail. Scholarship is a little bit different. Scholarship pushes the paradigm of thought. What does that mean? You have to be creative. You have to be innovative. You have to think about problems before they present themselves, such that we have the correct answers to solve those. That's called scholarship. It can be professional scholarship, academic scholarship, social scholarship, or individual scholarship. Are we preparing for tomorrow's issues with tomorrow's solutions rather than yesterday's solutions? Fourth and almost last, institutional infrastructure. Take a look at your organization. And what are the processes, procedures, and protocols, policies that are in place? Do they have bias or implicit bias embedded in them? Or do they have any discriminatory practices embedded in them? If so, let's reevaluate, maybe recorrect. And then ultimately, we have to engage the community. And when we get the voice of the customer, the community, and they provide us what they need and what they want, and we can then provide them that service or product, then we have reached the fifth pillar of the five toward inclusive excellence. I'll stop sharing my slides here.
And the crowd is cheering. Outstanding, Tommy. Yeah. Loved the way you went through that. You know, I've seen you a few times, man, but each time I'm inspired and want to sign up for another workshop. And so, man, kudos to you providing organizations with insight and perspective that is truly digestible and something that they can sink their teeth into and begin to act on it, sort of hear it in less defensive ways because of the way you serve that up. And that's just scratching the surface on the work that you're doing, Tommy. What has been the response that you've gotten from people over the years? How has that changed?
Yeah, so first, the diversity wheel in this approach, Eric, has landed very, very well. For three reasons, what we've learned. Number one, it is disarming and educational at the same time. Mm-hmm. It is a wow moment. People have said that they did not know that diversity consisted of so many different dimensions.
Right.
Secondly, even in that same vein, as they were being introduced to the broader view of diversity, the presentation was not judgmental. It was not victimizing, shaming, or blaming. And we've heard and learned that folks kind of saw their own story within the wheel as they were building some sense of appreciation and celebration of others and the differences, mm-hmm. right? The second thing that people said is once they started going through the exercise of you know, what aspects generate a lot of energy in people, mm-hmm. right? What they've learned is, and what they share is that typically those things that people said like political views or race or gender identity were issues of the day or of the moment, right? That came to top of mind, it surfaced. So in the activity, folks like said political views, right? And we say, follow up, are you thinking about now? People get riled up? Yep, right now. And people are sharing some of their anxiety, maybe comfort or discomfort in that. And not that political views have never been an issue or any of these other aspects, but it really surfaces it from a safe environment to say, hey, here's a concern. We need some answers. And then thirdly, and finally, when we go into where are you comfortable and uncomfortable, that's a personal introspective journey And people have time and time again, Eric, circled back and said, could we go through that diversity wheel again?
Right.
We had some conversations with, you know, one-on-one paired up conversations, group conversations. But I just realized how uncomfortable I was with this particular aspect. And I never shared that with anyone until today.
Wow.
They have said that.
Right. That's powerful, man.
They have said it because in their lives and many of our lives, we just keep going forward.
Right.
And we have to reflect. And so those are reactions I typically get. And that exercise can be 30 minutes or it can be a half a day.
Right.
Very, very rich. Right. But we enjoy doing it.
Man, that's powerful, Tommy. I am delighted. I'm with Dr. Crane. Excellent with the circles and squares. I think that's an outstanding use of the wheel. And it gets people thinking and reflecting on the intricacies of the wheel and how it relates. It moves them almost immediately from the political aspects of the wheel because you've asked them to engage the wheel through their areas of comfort.
Yeah.
And so they get a chance to then befriend the wheel.
Yeah.
And then you follow that up with where do I have struggles? So now you're giving them an outlet for their voice, those that came in with trepidations, those that came in with this is what I hope it's not about. You've given them an outlet for that. And then you've asked them to overlay the two and identify any struggles that they see. Wow.
Yeah.
It's profound, man.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that wheel's been used forever, you know.
Yeah.
And yet that's a wonderful way of engaging people with that. What else would you say to people, Tommy, about what you're trying to accomplish through the style, the approach that you have with individuals and organizations? What do you try to provide to an organization, even beyond the learning and the education? How else do you try to engage organizations in order to help them achieve success?
So, Eric, we try to do it in three ways again. There could be more, but we always like to land on something that's easy and palatable, you know, the rules of three, if you will.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, assessment. Assessment can be a personal assessment, like the diversity wheel. That's a personal exploration of oneself. It can be an organizational assessment, a culture assessment, a climate assessment, a diversity, equity, and inclusion assessment. Whatever it is, we have to assess the current state, right? Current state. Number two is to really understand the organization, its mission, its purpose, its business, and its talent, the employees or the people in the organization. And what I would like to do is we want to help organizations and people uncover their inherent strengths. That's ultimately what we want to do, is that we believe that people, when given the platform, when given the runway, when given the liberty and freedoms to be their better best, not their better selves, right, as all, we like to do that, but to better their best, when we give them that opportunity, and what happens is people do miraculous things,
mm-hmm.
right? Do miraculous things, and we create innovation. Civilizations on this earth were created by people creating miraculous things. Some of it was spiritually driven. Some of it was out of need and necessity, right? So we like to allow people to uncover their inherent strengths.
Mm.
And then third and finally, we have to put together a strategy, a plan for sustainability.
Right.
So although people are great, the same people who are leading the work are not always going to be around.
Right.
The same people who are championing the work may have another ulterior motive or another passion point, et cetera, and they may not be as vested as they were many moons ago. So we have to have the rotation of fresh talent, new team members.
Yeah. Right?
And in that, what is the plan for the next 6 months, a year, 3 months, or 3 years, 5 years, or the next 25 years? Let's not be short-term thinkers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put together that plan, which can change, right, to adapt to strengths, just like the diversity wheel, then ultimately we create equity, inclusion, and appreciate the uniqueness that everyone and every organization can bring, which is called diversity. That's what we like to do.
Tommy, another question. What is your most desirable client? How would you describe them? What's the characteristics of the client that you excel best with? Who do you like to work with?
Oh, great question, Eric. I'm going to answer from my experience, right? You're asking me, I'd love to ask you the same, and I'll be very brief. The most ideal client is where they're clients that have leadership who are on board. They get it. They want it for the most part. You have folks, boots on ground, if you will, labor, those frontline workers who get it. They see the necessity. And then you have the folks in the middle, typically middle management, middle supervision, middle anything, who are on the fence. The most ideal client is the client that says, from a business perspective, organizational perspective, we have to do this because our environment, our clients are changing, but we have some problems. We have some issues. Mm-hmm. Not going to point the fingers, but it comes out, right? And those clients where they have true long-term aspirations for this work, but they either don't know how to do it at all, or there are issues and barriers within the organization that they're aware of, but they want a third-party professional expert to be able to say what they already know. Those are our best clients because we are not trying to convince people against their will.
Right.
Why? They'll be of the same opinion still.
Right.
We welcome folks into this journey towards success. If you don't want to be successful, this is not the journey, not the company you want to work for. If you don't want to contribute, it's not the journey, it's not the company. Those are our best clients because they realize quickly that we can't do this work in a month. We can't start it and end it in 30 days.
Right.
This is a journey.
Tommy, I am so grateful that we had a chance to see you in action, learn from you this morning. You have my full endorsement. Anybody that's looking for an amazing leader and company to help you with your diversity, equity, inclusion strategies, training, coaching needs, I endorse Tommy Lewis. Tommy, tell people how they can reach you, man. If they're trying to get a hold of you, they're on fire right now. And they've been inspired by some of the things that you've said today or when they watch the tape. How can they contact you?
Feel free to reach out to Make It Plain Consulting. Our website, www.mipcllc.com. Or email. You can email us at info@mipcllc.com or give me a call. Give us a call. 513-421-2300. We are not Make It Worse, Make It Difficult,
Make
It Problemsome. We are Make It Plain. Thank you.
I love that. Tommy, I love that, man. It's been a gift for us this morning. Community, I know you got some things out of this morning from Tommy Lewis. I'm going to give him a standing ovation here. I'm still in my seat, but I'm standing inside. And we're going to say to you, thank you all for joining us today. And we're hoping that you're going to take this information and what you brought to the table when you came and make the world around you better. And we'll see you next week. And I want some of you out there to stop keeping this a secret. I know how some of them do, Tommy.
Yeah,
I'm good. And they just get in for themselves and they don't share it with their friends and neighbors. I'm putting pressure on you. We're turning up the heat. Tommy and I are turning up the heat. You got to bring 10 friends to church next week. You hear that? We appreciate y'all. Take care.
Take care.
Love you, Tommy.
Love you too, Eric.
Awesome job, man. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.